really is about being better every day in practice and being consistent every day in defense, especially in days, you know, about rough days, any days we is, we're about being consistent. That's the biggest goal right there. So it's all about, like, well, if we're in a good run, you just got to keep doing what we're doing to be consistent.
Welcome back to Patriots Preview, driven by the 2022 Honda CR-V. Mark Bertrand alongside Chris Gasper at Splitsville Patriot Place. That was Christian Barmore, who's had himself a camp so far. And this portion of Patriots Preview is brought to you by the McGovern Auto Group. Is your lease up in the next 6 months? McGovern has you covered. McGovern Auto Group will pay up to $1,000 to turn in your lease. With over 18 dealerships across New England, McGovern Auto Group has your next vehicle in stock now. Shop now at McGovernAuto.com. We welcome in Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. And that, in talking about Christian Barmore, is a matchup to keep an eye on. That is Christian Barmore against the offensive line of the Carolina Panthers in this one, which we don't expect will be starters. But, Phil, let's get to your reporting earlier in the hour, which is about the Patriots and their receivers. Tell us what you're hearing and what might be happening on that front as it relates to a potential trade.
Yeah, guys, my understanding is that the Patriots are hearing from receiver needy teams that specifically need starting receiver help. And they're hearing from them because the Patriots are viewed, funny enough, as having a surplus of starting receiver talent right now. And the reason I find this interesting is because Kendrick Bourne has had a really rough camp. And so just from talking to some people in and around the team the last few weeks, I've been wondering, hey, does the depth at that position mean anything for Kendrick Bourne's future here in New England? Because not only do you have what looks like a good complement of receivers this year, though they are not and should not be ranked among the elite in the league. They are pretty deep there. But also because Kendrick Bourne's contract is incredibly tradable, if you look at it. It's a steal of a deal, even if he just maintains and does what he did last year. And the responses I've gotten have been essentially, the contract is probably what makes him safe. But it doesn't mean that the Patriots wouldn't listen on other guys. And the guy that I still would peg as the guy that the Patriots would probably be most willing to part with, even if it's in sort of a salary dump type of move, it would be Nelson Agholor. And that, again, that carries another layer of interest to me personally, because he's been one of the stars of camp lately. He has kind of looked like the guy that you paid for last offseason. So would you move on from him when he starts to show signs of progress? I just think they've seen plenty from somebody like Devontae Parker to lock in his role. Jacoby Myers, same deal, in my opinion. But teams are calling because they see this receiver room right now, and they see starting caliber receivers, plenty of them, and they see a team in the Patriots that everybody views as a team that should be using more two tight end packages in the coming season, which would mean a lesser need for the bulk of receivers that they currently have. So I don't think the Patriots are sprinting to the phones to get rid of one of these guys, but they are hearing from other teams because they view the Patriots as having a load of starting caliber receivers.
Phil, when you look at this, do you have any sense that teams are calling? Are they just generally calling to say, hey, you know, what receivers are available? Or do you have a sense that they're calling about specific guys, whether it is Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers or Agholor, who is due to make $9 million in base salary this year, $5 million of which is guaranteed?
The sense I get, Chris, is that they've heard on all three.
Okay.
And to me, the Agholor one is most interesting because I think if he were to go, it would be, again, it would be the comp that I've been given is basically the Shaq Mason trade, which we know the Patriots just got a fifth-round pick back for Shaq Mason. But that would be sort of the expected return in a deal like that if it were to go down, because even though his salary cap hit wouldn't be as hefty for another team as it would be for the Patriots this year, it's unbelievable. He has the fifth highest cap hit this year among all receivers in the NFL, if you can believe that. Number five in the league right now. If they were to trade him, it's still hefty enough that a team getting him would not want to give up much in return. So it would be the $9 million base salary that he has going with him, which is still a top 20 cap hit at that position in the NFL this year. but it's not five overall. And there are some receiver needy teams out there. Like, I would look at the Packers, and I know they play the Packers this year, but different conference, receiver needy team, plenty of cap space. That's a team that it wouldn't shock me if something gets, you know, discussed between the Packers and Patriots in the coming weeks here.
You know, everything you're talking about with Aguilar, I would think, and I hope, gives the Patriots pause in even thinking about trading him. They invested in him. They gave him a lot of money. And now they might actually get a great return on that money that they invested based on the way he's played in this preseason. And if there's not a lot to come back in the way of a trade, why would you not want him on this team? Why would you not want him producing for the New England Patriots in 2022? I know the cap number's high. I know the real money is decent, but I don't know why you wouldn't want that player here playing the way that he has played in this preseason. And I hope that's what stops them from making a move.
Yeah, it's a good point, Beadle. And like I said, are they rushing to get rid of him? No, I don't think so. I think having receiver depth there is a nice luxury for them at the moment, because when you look at especially Devontae Parker, I mean, are you certain he's going to get through a full season? He hasn't proven that he can do that in the last couple of years. So to have that depth is nice. And, you know, again, I think they're going to be a two tight end heavy team this year. They're going to try to be. But Hunter Henry's dealing with something now. He's missed practice lately. Jonnu Smith was all kinds of banged up early last year, to the point where he missed a vast majority of the spring stuff that he was supposed to be at, the mandatory stuff, and training camp. And I think that's part of the reason he ended up having the year that he had. So to have depth there is good. But I think given their cap situation, one, and the calls that they're getting from other teams, too, I do think it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone if they end up moving on from one of these receivers, especially when they're in a situation where, when you look at their top five guys, none of them really look like special teams contributors. And we know that matters to Bill Belichick, and it always will. So they've had years in the past where they've had five true receivers who really don't contribute much in the kicking game on the roster going into the season. But usually when they have five or six, one of those guys is Matthew Slater. One of those guys is Gunnar Olszewski. They're special teams guys. So they're a little heavier there than they usually are.
Phil, do you have a sense that, you mentioned the Packers there, do you have a sense that any of these teams contacting the Patriots are teams that have good relationships with Bill Belichick, you know, teams he's done business with in the past? Like, and just, I'm throwing out, there's a hypothetical. I'm not saying this is a receiver, needy team, but, you know, like the Eagles, you know, they'll do a deal with the Eagles. That's no problem for them. They've certainly done that in the past. Do you have a sense that any of these teams are teams that they've done business with in the past?
I think when you look at Bill Belichick's history, you understand that he's been very open about this, especially around draft time. He's always open for business. But between Bill Belichick and teams that he's dealt with in the past, and Elliott Wolf, I think is another name that we should think about here, because he is really the one guy in the front office in a premier position in the front office that's been with other teams. You know, Matt Groh certainly has relationships around the league, and he is the point person. He's in that Nick Caserio role right now. But Elliott Wolf is a guy who's actually been other places, and so some of those relationships may be a little bit stronger. So it wouldn't stun me if it was either a team that Bill had a close relationship with, or be a team that Elliott did.
We're talking with Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. Phil, what was, in your mind, the biggest development of the joint practices this week between the Patriots and the Panthers, outside of the obvious, which was the fighting?
Yeah, I think the offensive progress is really worth highlighting. And it wasn't spectacular, but the progress was real. And so it's worth us noting that. And I would say, to be more specific about the offensive progress, I thought it was encouraging to see how frequently they were willing to push the ball down the field, because that was something we really didn't see hardly at all in the training camp practices leading up to this week. So to see, particularly on Tuesday, Mac Jones having enough time, which he referenced in a press conference recently, as long as he has the ability to step up and throw, that's what he's looking for. But to have the time to be able to find guys like Devontae Parker down the field, Nelson Aguilar, I thought, ran a nice route and drew a defensive pass interference deep down the field on Tuesday. He hit Ty Montgomery down the sideline during the 2-minute period on Tuesday. So they aired it out a little bit this week, and that was something that they really could not do last year. And so it's no coincidence. They go, they trade for Devontae Parker, and they draft Tyquan Thornton in the second round. I talked to a number of defensive coaches over the course of this offseason who played the Patriots in 2021 and who said straight up, we did not have to concern ourselves at all with the deep part of the field against the Patriots. The run game was complicated and diverse and effective, and that gave us fits. Short to intermediate area with Jacoby Myers and Hunter Henry, those are guys that, you know, we knew if we didn't pay attention to them, they could hurt us. But we didn't concern ourselves with Aguilar. We didn't concern ourselves with a deep part of the field, and it allowed those teams to play defense in a really aggressive manner, which I thought all came to a head in that game in Buffalo. And I know the score got out of control in that playoff game, and that allows defenses to do certain things. But if you watch just the first series of that game, they were incredibly aggressive coming down the field because they did not care about the deep portion of the field. And so we saw signs that the Patriots can finally threaten that area, and that should, the domino effect there should open things up for those intermediate options, but also for the running game. It's really amazing that the running game was as effective as it was given the rest of their offensive attack, because teams were teeing off on the run and they were still one of the most efficient run teams in football. But if they can threaten the deep part of the field, they should be overall a better offensive attack this year.
Just quickly, because we've talked so much about the offense, I do want to hit on the other side of the ball, and I think you're a great person to do it with, Phil. The one area I've seen of the defense that gives me some pause, or maybe the area that gives me the most pause, is the linebacker group. And in one of these joint practices, you know, I'm looking out there, and it looks like they're in sub, and Jawan Bentley's one of the two linebackers, and Christian McCaffrey's blowing right by him for a touchdown. What is happening with this linebacker group, and who do you think sort of steps to the forefront at this point?
I was surprised to see Bentley out there in that situation, because it was a two-minute period. You think you get your subgroup in there. Bentley has been, at least, a first and second down guy, and really that's it. I think that's what he's best suited to do. So I thought that was probably the best offensive play of the day for the Panthers. But then you see the numbers, it's like, why in the world would they ask Jawan Bentley to run down the field with Christian McCaffrey? I think what you're going to see is Mack Wilson play a real role and play quite a bit early on. I think he's good enough that he will demand it in some ways. And we haven't seen him out there early with Bentley the same way we have with McMillan. And so there are probably some things that he's going to have to iron out in terms of his responsibilities defensively, pass game, run game. But I can tell you, behind the scenes, they love what they've seen from him thus far, even if he's not one of those top two guys yet, because he's played the run well. They've even inserted him in some of the pass rush drills, and he's won those in one-on-one situations against starting offensive linemen of the Patriots. They've seen him make plays in coverage. So he is a versatile linebacker. And I think, again, because everything skews toward the pass, it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot more Mack Wilson, and maybe even Wilson and McMillan. Even though it's Jawan Bentley's room, he's the captain, he's the more experienced guy. I think McMillan and Wilson are the two modern age linebackers on this roster right now, and I think Wilson deserves to play a bunch early this year.
He is Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. Phil, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat next week.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Talk soon.